This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Welcome back to the One Was Had a Dream podcast. We are back from our Christmas holidays. We've had too many sweets, too much turkey. We are back to chat Wimbledon. Happy New Year to all our listeners. I hope everyone had a good Christmas period and a good New Year. But the number one AFC Wimbledon podcast is back. Myself, Lee Finch, and I am joined by the one and only Danny Baker. Danny Baker, how are we? Good Christmas. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. Too much sweets, too much food. Mate, it's still going, isn't it? What's your cutoff point? Do you have a cutoff point, or is it one of those ones where it's when it's all gone, that's the start of the
when it's
new
all gone.
You?
Yeah. When it's all gone, I'm still going for it now. We booked way too much. So we went down a Costco run just before Christmas.
Oh, well, yeah. I remember the famous Costco run, yeah. Loads of toilet rolls, wasn't it?
Yeah, for hundreds of toilet rolls. So got loads of, but like literally we got chocolate still. And the problem I've got with, I love Christmas, right? Well, I hate Christmas.
No, you don't. You hate Christmas. You absolutely hate
Christmas. I hate Christmas.
Lee Grinch.
But I love the chocolates and all the sweets and everything you get at Christmas. So my missus always makes sure I get a massive selection box. And I mean one of the big, big ones. So I'm still going for it. But all the, like, the Quality Streets, the Roses, the Tins of Heroes. But why do they put so many crap ones in?
I know.
So, and at the moment, we've got a tin of Quality Street, and all it's got is, like, the caramel.
Toffee penny.
Yeah, the toffee penny or the fudge. Yeah. Don't want them.
The problem I have, I'm exactly the same. I was like, I've got to like the New Year's Day, and I was like, right, okay, you know, I don't want to be. I was like, no, I'm not going to be that bloke who just goes, it's got to be on New Year's Day. I was like, when it's all gone, and I was just thought we're over it, and my wife's just put in front of me loads of these bloody chocolatey things. I was like, oh, for God's sake. And like, do you know when you feel proper sluggish? I'm there. But no, Christmas was good. Like I said, it was sort of a weird one. Combination of loads of food, catching up loads of family, obviously the little one running around like mental. So it's that kind of balance between you want to kind of chill out, but you kind of almost like poor Dolly. I was like, you're going to go and see them. You're then going to go and see them. And it was kind of almost passing the parcel.
It's a prop over sensory for them as well. Like like my 7-year-old is gone. He's gone mental because his Father Christmas come, loads of presents. Do you know what I mean? Loads of chocolate, loads of stuff he shouldn't be eating, staying up late. Do you know what I mean? He's only gone back to school this week. And I've got three of them, mate. A 2-year-old who's like just runs around anyway like a maniac. But I want to talk to you about Christmas dinner.
Yes, mate. Go on. Loving
one,
that.
Right? Are you huge. How many meats do you have? Or are you a nut roast man now? Because obviously
I am very, very woke these days. So I normally, you know, I'm looking after, you know, Just Stop Oil, all that lot. We normally, controversial, straight off the bat, no turkey.
What?
No turkey. Not interested. It's far too bland, rubbery, and you don't eat it any other time of year. Not doing it. Not entertaining it. So we are normally beef, gammon, and chicken. So we're three. We're three. We're three meat baker. Now, what's right. going on in the Grinch's house?
So I only eat chicken or
that's,
turkey.
That's if you don't include.
I only eat chicken. So
pigs and blankets and stuff like that.
But I'm 42 years old, and six all months right. ago was the first time I had ever had roast beef.
Are you joking? You've not had roast beef in 42 years old. What's the matter with you?
I only eat chicken and turkey on a roast dinner. And
well, you would never have. You've never been to a carvery then.
Yeah, yeah, but I only have the chicken or turkey, and if
oh,
they don't,
that's
I go
a
vegetarian.
Why are you not having beef?
Don't like because no one in this country does it good. I don't eat steak either, do I? So,
what do you mean you don't eat steak?
I don't eat steak. I have burgers, and that's it.
You've lost a butt, mate.
People you've think it's mad butt. When I explain to people, they don't get it. Like my mates, literally, they say I've got the eating of a 14-year-old boy. Like, am I having turkey twizzlers?
Sounds like you
on my Christmas dinner,
like a 2-year-old boy.
But I'm turkey. My missus turkey gammon.
Yeah, okay. Gammon is absolutely but taken over.
Are you Yorkshire puddings?
Yes.
I'm 10 Yorkshire puddings. I have
10. Do you put all the meat in the Yorkshire pudding? Have it like
yeah,
a bowl
I was just about to say. So I have 5 that I make little like Yorkshire pudding kind of wrap things with. Like, so a bit of meat, bit of gravy, bit of Swede is underrated as well on a Christmas dinner.
Ooh.
Love a bit of Swede.
Well, I can cope with it.
Parsnips, as long as they're done well.
Parsnips.
I was fuming this Christmas though, fuming. My mother-in-law forgot to put the stuffing on. So there's no stuffing on my Christmas dinner.
I'm not bothered about it.
What?
Overrated, totally overrated stuff.
Stuffing's not overrated. You're an idiot, mate. You're a clown. Everyone's gonna have a go at me for never having roast beef, but you're not having stuffing. You're just putting bit of turkey, bit of stuffing, maybe a bit of Swede, cut up a carrot, put that in. Bit of.
Do you have pigs and blankets?
Obviously.
Yeah, but you said that meat you only have.
But do you have the small
turkey.
Ones, or do you have normal pigs and blankets?
No, I just go small. Yeah.
No, big one, big sausage, like butcher sausage wrapped in bacon.
Wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, about 3 of them.
It's a bit heavy, isn't it?
This is why I'm about 17 stone as well. But for me, I have 5 spare Yorkshire puddings and then my own cup mug of gravy and a dip.
So you have 10 Yorkshire puddings, right?
Yep.
5 on the plate.
Yep.
You make them into some gourmet Finch Parisian cafe
wrap.
Vibe. Yeah, yep. Yeah. There's a great place in York, by the way. If you ever go there, they do Yorkshire pudding wraps.
I'll take the missus to Harrogate next year.
She'll love it. Go and see Emmerdale while you're there.
Yeah.
And then you have like a little cup and you just dip the Yorkshires as you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the best thing for me, I think, always, and you're going to go, shut up. I'm not bothered about pudding, right? You can part that. I like to have, when everyone's snacking, a roast beef and mustard sandwich.
Yeah, I like that as well, but I can still
do
a little
bit of gravy. No.
I have a turkey horseradish sandwich.
Turkey and horseradish?
Yeah, it's nice.
That's absolutely cosmopolitan.
But I'm dessert man, obviously, as well.
Are you actually, though?
Chocolate log. Well,
that's
Yule log. That's
boxing. Yule log.
My Yule log's Boxing Day, to be fair, when I'm sat on the toilet. But,
of course it is, yeah.
No, chocolate log, salted caramel cheesecake, double chocolate cheesecake. I have a...
Multiple cheesecakes.
Mate,
do you have Christmas pudding?
No, it's disgusting.
No, I don't think... I don't...
Mince pie's not for me either.
Yeah, no, I'll tolerate it.
Oh, you know the best, this is the best dessert ever. And every year, even my ex-wife's mum used to make it for me as well. And now my wife makes it for me.
Beef roulade.
No. You know Bird's Eye?
Bird's Eye,
or Birds? The trifle.
What
you know the one you make
at
home?
About?
You know the one you make at home?
About a million years old. You can't have a trifle.
But
you're trifling, mate.
The problem is I used to have two. I used to have one, because, and I mean they're massive bowl of it. I mean, a big one.
Right.
Boxing Day, I forgot I had it. Got it out. She's falling asleep. I'm watching us get beat by Sutton.
Are you still talking about the trifle, yeah?
And I'm smashing this trifle. I ate the whole thing, mate. And it feeds like 5 people.
What, boxing? What, watching Women and Sutton?
Yeah.
God almighty. You need more than that.
The Bird's Eye trifle is the
bird's
best
eye
trifle.
Or birds.
And it ain't no real fruit. It's got nothing in it. It's just got jelly, these sponge fingers, custard,
basically,
cream.
Stuff that is all the terrible stuff in it goes,
and then the chocolate sprinkles. That is,
and the chocolate
dessert.
Sprinkles. Yeah. No fruit, forget the fruit.
But I'm Christmas Eve over New Year's Eve.
Yes, I mean, to be honest with you, New Year's Eve was we just watched a film and we was going to watch Hootenanny, and the Sugar Babes came on, and then some other random bloke. Did you watch that with Jules Holland?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of it now.
I found out it
weren't live and it was filmed in July. Kind of put me off a bit.
July.
It is.
It's not filmed in July, Lee.
It is.
It might be filmed in October, November. It is not July.
It's around about July.
Right. I'm telling you now, it's not July.
Anyway, But when I was younger, New Year's Eve was okay. But I've always Christmas Eve. Always loved going to the pub Christmas Eve. Everyone's festive. Everyone's in a good mood. There's always a random who moved away miles and then come home for Christmas. And you're like, oh, you're doing John, you're right. Yeah, and it's nice. And
New Year's Eve is all. I always felt that Christmas Eve is going out. New Year's Eve is always house parties.
Yeah,
I thought that that's kind of.
I was working New Year's Eve. I was taking people to house parties.
Oh yeah.
People dressed up like at the Gatsby's and all that. Not having that fancy dress, not having it.
Disappointing.
But anyway,
yeah. Apart from there, we just did like a bit of food, a bit of games. I opened a few presents. It kept opening presents because Dolly kept getting loads of stuff. And lo and behold, it's what, January 4th, and we're living the dream. So well, Christmas, should we talk about?
I was going to say living the dream. Wombles? What did we say? We wanted 15 points. Well, there was 15 points up for grabs. Yeah. What games are we talking about here? We're not talking Salford, are we?
I'm presuming. It's Salford.
Salford. Oh,
I reckon it's
early.
Salford. It's no, it can't be. It's got to be Salford, Crawley,
Sutton,
Colchester,
Forest Green Rovers.
Forest Green, yeah, 5, yeah, right. 15.
I went up to Salford. Points. I went up to Salford.
All right, okay, good.
We battered them. Should have won 3 or 4 nil. And it's been really annoying since because they've been absolutely smashed by everyone who's played them since. Tranmere beat them 5-1 home. Their manager gets sacked. I think they lost 3-0 the other day away. Yeah, so that was annoying. I think we absolutely battered Salford, destroyed them. Great place, Manchester, though, if you've never been. Go up there. It's really good. Had a good bit of food up there. Went to a proper Manc pub, old school, proper boozer, where Oasis had some photos done outside. My boy, big Oasis fan, so we went in there. He loved it. Yeah, we should have picked 3 points up there. Then who was it after that?
Crawley. We beat Portsmouth.
Yeah, but Portsmouth, that was a good game.
We battered them.
That was a really good game of football.
Did you fly over to Spain to watch it?
Yeah, definitely. The whole Christmas period I was over there. I was working.
I went to the Crawley game. How about this, right? First time I've ever seen like football hooliganism and an AFC Wimbledon game. Like a proper lively. We've obviously won the game 2-1. Dad's in the away end. I'm sitting with a mate of mine who's a Crawley fan, so I was sitting in the posh seats, if you like. Came out, got in the car. You know, you got the weird underpass, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. So imagine the away fans leaving under the underpass, and you can go up the hill, and on the right, there's a pub. Me and my dad are just parked on the left. Got the car, moved it out, and lo and behold, we're just pulling up. And all of a sudden, there's like 50 Crawley fans on the left chucking bottles at Wimbledon fans. One policeman in the middle, the classic, you know, if he wasn't here, you'd be dead. One guy.
The invisible wall was up, was it?
One guy sort of steamed over to try and start a fight, and a police officer batted him on the legs, and that was it. Me and my dad were literally right sitting in the middle of it, and they were racking either side.
Some stuff on Twitter, weren't there, of something happening where an old man got hit at the station or something. I don't know the ins and outs.
It seems to be like quite a. They're pushing for a rivalry of some sort. And again, it was near Christmas, etc. But we played well there. The first hour, we were brilliant. And then the referee lost
his
head.
He was awful, the ref. But stupid sending off.
I mean, Joe Lewis's were two yellows for me. The second one was 50-50, but the first one was definitely yellow.
Second one, it's a foul. But I think a warning could have been enough to say, look, you're in the book already. One more and you're off. Do you know what I mean?
Crawley were absolutely minging for the first half an hour, obviously.
Yeah, but people keep saying this. Everyone keeps saying how bad the team are. We'll come on to Colchester later. But everyone says how bad the other team were against. Like, Salford were really bad. But is it not that bad? We're just really good.
No, Crawley were absolutely... The biggest thing is, and I think you mentioned it over Christmas, there's this weird obsession with teams trying to play out the back. It's like, I don't understand what you're doing when you're not good enough to do this and you're playing in League Two because your players can't do this effectively well enough. So what are you doing? I
can understand it if you're, say, go through the leagues. You're an Ipswich, you're doing it and they're flying, Leicester. You go down into League One, whoever, I don't know, even Bolton or something like that, and you're doing it, you're flying. Stockport, if they're playing out from the back and they're passing it around and they're doing it and they're winning games. But if you're mid-table or down near the bottom of the league, why are you trying to play out from the back at League Two level when you haven't got as you said, and it makes me laugh because I just think it's just craziness, really. I prefer the old Wimbledon style. I hate saying it, Liverpool style. Get the ball up
just
into their other half as quickly as possible.
Crawley
and try
were
and score
so
goals.
They were so poor and they were trying to play it. I was like, why are you doing this? Just play it in the corners, play in their half. They had a really quick forward, young lad, who was the guy from Gateshead, who I actually thought we would be interested in. Campbell, was it? But he did nothing. But they kind of, we obviously had the sending off, and then they got a decent goal, and then all of a sudden, and that looked like, that now is a quite a decent result, if you think about Crawley, how they're playing.
Yeah.
But obviously from Crawley, we go to Sutton. Oh, ouch.
What is it with playing Sutton at Christmas that we just turn into? Because some people were really annoyed that Johnny gave them the Christmas day off. And also the fact that we moved the Crawley game to a Friday to give us that extra rest. They had Christmas off. And I don't know if you heard TalkSport the other day, Dean Saunders. He talks a lot of nonsense, to be fair to him, Dean Saunders. But he was saying the best time to play teams sometimes is around Christmas, because some players won't have the mentality to not leave the turkey or the sweets, and they will overindulge without realising. Do you know what I mean? We look like we overindulged on Christmas Day. We look leggy. We look lethargic. We look like we had, like even Jake Reeves and people like that look like they had a bucket of heroes. Do you know what I mean? And they just looked awful. Where Crawley, Sutton kind of done a number.
Yeah, but Sutton basically tried to spoil the game. Did that really, really well. Pressed quickly. And then we just played to exactly to their game. We just hoofed the ball long, hoping for a second ball against two massive centre-backs who did that all day.
I like Goodlife.
I think he's decent. And I thought their centre-forward was good. He won everything. Absolutely everything. And the goal is absolutely pony to concede.
Yeah, it's really bad.
I mean, it's a rubbish goal to concede. We never really... We had opportunities here and there, but... We played on that. We deserve to lose.
I thought we looked at it as we've got Bugle. Let's play Bugle like he would play for Sutton. Just go long to him, try and get flicks, and Ali will use his pace to get in behind. Yeah. And it just didn't work. And as I said, it looked like... The Christmas Day stuff don't really bother me too much because, you know what I mean? We played well against Crawley. We've been putting in performances. And the good thing is we move on pretty quickly from it. But... yeah, it was against them. And the funniest thing is Sutton celebrated like they won the trophy and then they go on
my God.
They go on to lose the next game. But again, did you see...
You know, they're bottom of the league and they needed a point.
Yeah, I get that. But did you see all this? They're trying really hard as well to make a rivalry with us. Did you see some of their fans after the Real Dons TV? A couple of the guys are doing it.
Do you think we need a rival? Do you think we need like a...
No.
What I mean by that, though, is to take away from the MK nonsense. Do we feel like we almost... could do with channeling our energy somewhere else, because ultimately the MK game, people are going to turn into a rival. We don't really want that, do we?
But the problem with Sutton, I've got, is they used to give us free tickets to fill their ground. So don't start trying to give it all the bigger now. And also, your second bottom going down, you're going to be relegated to going non-league. You probably won't get out of non-league again.
No, they won't.
So don't give it all the bigger. You won. I get it. You're bottom of the league. You got spanked 8-0 a couple of weeks ago when we were up at Salford drawing 0-0. But just, like all their fans after the game trying to give it to two lads who have got a mic in their hands and recording. Do you know what I mean? Just,
yeah, I saw that. That was
one of them's wearing a Chelsea tracksuit. It's like, you're giving it, do you know what I mean? It's like, how bad has Chelsea got now that their fans are coming Sutton and giving it to Wimbledon?
Do you feel there's like a growth of like junior aggro? Or is this just two isolated cases?
I'm not sure it's junior aggro. Like my boy, he's 14. He wants to wear Stone Island. He wants to wear CP Company. He listens to Oasis. He's bought a record player. He's bought
no M&S,
records.
No?
No.
No Oasis.
Listens
Next.
To all that. He wears the Adidas trainer. Like, I love Adidas, so I got him into that. If you saw him and you looked at him, you'd think, oh, he's trying to be a football hooligan. The kid's soft as anything. Do you know what I mean? I think it's just swings and roundabouts with everything, as in...
the fashion of the day, is it?
The football culture, the music culture and stuff like that. It's just coming back round. Like, there is no real good... indie music out and about nowadays. Do you know what I mean? It's all crap music. So they're all listening to the old school like we used to.
It is coming back on TikTok about getting the badge in and that sort of stuff. It's kind of...
yeah, like, did you see the video the other day of Oldham and Salford? There was one Salford fan on the train or something. He was trying to close the door. There was about 13 Oldham fans going at him. But none of them stepped over the mark and hit it. Do you know what I mean? Where that invisible wall again, the invisible brick wall was stopping them from moving. We're back in the day when I was growing up, Dan, and you, I've seen West Brom fans beat the living crap out of Birmingham fans on the station right in front of me using the hammers that, you know, the hammer that you get on the train to break the glass. They were beating the crap out of some geezer with one of them. I was about 18, 19, thinking, what the hell is going on here?
The thing
nowadays, it's all bravado. It's all hold me back.
Well, the thing with the Crawley game, right, is they're all kicking off with their phones in the air. Like, they're like, come on, and they're like filming, and they're filming themselves like, let's have it. And it's like, oh, mate, really? Like,
yeah, a lot of it like, just wants to be on Twitter, and they want to put it on social media and go, look, we run Wimbledon and stuff like that. And it's like, well, do you know what I mean? And it's just, yeah, it's not, a lot of it's a nonsense. Again, I just think the culture of football is just going around. There's a lot of hard times for people nowadays, do you know what I mean? Yeah. With everything that's going on with like everything in the world, and going to football and shouting at another fan is probably the best way to do it for some people. I tell my boy, you've got this consequences. And someone should have told me this when I was growing up. We had a good time growing up, to be fair, watching Wimbledon home and away. But there is consequences, and there's a lot of cameras nowadays, and you get nicked at football, you're treated as one of the worst criminals in the world nowadays.
Yeah, football. You are, yeah, yeah.
Football fans are treated like criminals. Don't get involved, because one day you maybe want to get a decent job or something, it might come back and bite you and bin the arse.
It's just only once, isn't it? It's only once you
can get into it. I don't know, like, as I said, as long as no punches are thrown and stuff, and it's a bit of banter. I don't like Salford. There was one geezer in the Salford end. He just kept throwing up the wanker sign constantly, shouting out loads of stuff. And it's like, mate, you're watching your team Salford get battered every week. I just pipe down, just don't even say anything. And we were just having a laugh. There was one Wimbledon fan, he older boy, he was just jumping up and down on their metal stand, making loads of noise, and they were all taking the piss out of him. He's living his best life. Like, just leave him alone for 5 minutes. But I said, I'll have a go at fans. Where we sit in our block, we always take the mickey out of them. It's banter back and forth. But I think that gets the atmosphere going and gets people up. They score, they give it to us. We score, we give it to them. After the game, you just disappear and go on your own way.
I mean, football is definitely better with noise and with energy between the two sets of fans.
Yeah.
Without doubt.
Well, it's like interesting. I watched one the other day about boxing. They're saying about boxing, you know, like in Vegas, in here, in this country, with the boxing, the atmosphere is amazing. They put on one of the best cards I've seen the other day with what's his name?
Parker, the one in
Wilder.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia.
And Saudi want to be the boxing mecca of the world now. There's no one there. There's not a pin drop.
It's not the boxing mecca. It's just mecca. Mecca's it.
But it's
just a mecca.
It is just. There's no noise. There's no atmosphere. And it's quite boring to watch then, just watching boxing. Do you know what I mean? People want the atmosphere. It's like anything. People want the atmosphere of any sport. So, yeah. It's...
Which is interesting why, though, in many ways, a lot of the football fan is almost bottom of the list of priorities. You'd think the one thing that you want to do that makes it better is the crowd going absolutely balmy, and like Newcastle in the Champions League, the best thing was just how noisy and how passionate they are. But they kind of want to subdue that. It's a bit of an odd...
It's mad, odd yeah. Circle. And as I said, we're football fans are treated like criminals, like really bad criminals. Do you know what I mean? And it's mad to me that people have been sentenced for like years for not even throwing a punch and stuff. Like, but you look at the Newcastle-Sunderland thing. Do you see Newcastle-Sunderland today?
Seen that today. When
Newcastle-Sunderland have painted their hospitality boxes in Newcastle colours and put Newcastle stuff up.
But why, though?
Because they've got Newcastle Hospitality coming in and they think
they're kind of making them welcoming.
But it's like, that's your biggest rivalry is that you hate. A guy punched the Hawks last time you played them. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember that? See, I don't recommend going and punching the Hawks in front of a load of old Bill.
And if you are, but it's like a really horrible horse to do.
Again, the other day, Stevenage played, who's they playing? They were playing at home and the lights went out. I've never seen so many old Bill for that game. There was literally, the whole constabulary was out, 20 police cars, 20 police vans. The electric went out. They called off the game. Everyone had to go back to the station. It's like, what did they think was going to happen? Do you know what I mean? It just blows my mind a little bit. And then Wimbledon fans, we do get treated quite badly, I believe, by...
Really?
Not so much the stewards now, spot on. I love the stewards now. They're really good. Get involved.
Well, ours.
We've had this before. Remember, we had this before. We had this previously about the stewards were really bang out of
they're
line.
Definitely better than...
They are class now. Where we are sitting, they are class. They get involved. They talk to you. They say hello. They know our names now. And that's how that's good. Do you know what I mean? They're not going to let us go steaming over, but yeah, talk. But our police, they want us... I think they want you to kind of step the line so they can kind of get that mark. I don't know if they get commission or something, but it's... I just hate the way football fans get treated. They get treated like animals.
I mean, I don't think they overly help themselves, but particularly Wimbledon fans, there can't be loads of Aggie Wimbledon fans. And I would have thought when a club know Wimbledon are coming to town, I think they probably are more relaxed, I would think.
We're more Aggie with each other. if you go on Twitter and stuff, then we are. And I just think it's mad. Like nowadays, like me, as I said to you before, we could have a conversation in a pub and we could moan our heads off about it. But you go on Twitter and say something, and that's it. People just get involved. It's like people are like, oh, I can't believe you're moaning. You're moaning about this. Mate, don't follow me then, or just don't comment.
Of course, yeah.
Just read something else. I just don't. It's like politics and everything at the moment, then you've got something to say. People just think it's that old Ricky Gervais joke, isn't it? That well, he ain't gone down too well with his latest thing, but that Ricky Gervais joke that James Corden stole, it's like going into town and seeing a billboard saying guitar lessons.
Yeah,
and then ringing a geezer up, going, "I don't want guitar lessons." It's like, well, ain't for just ignore it, like. And people have to comment on it as well. I've seen some stuff on Twitter today about our fans moaning that Wrexham sold out, and it's like, why have you got even mentioned that? Do you know what I mean? Just leave it. It is what it is.
Well, what did you make? Let's move on then. What do you think of the culture of the game? I actually think Colchester weren't bad either.
First half,
they played well. I mean, they scored three goals against us. I mean, they conceded five, but
first half. They were decent. Second half, they were absolutely awful, though. And you can tell they just stopped playing for... I don't know what he said to them at half-time, but we've all been there with the managers. You think, what's he said to them at half-time? And they've come out a totally different team.
Well, he's gone now. They've just appointed the Cowley brother, haven't they?
Yeah, great, great appointment that is. For
them, that's a stunning appointment.
Because they'll stay up this year, and then they'll might kick on next. I just think Colchester, we needed that bounce back. Last year, year before that, we wouldn't have done. We'd have lost to Colchester.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
We'd have drawn to Forest Green in the pissing down of rain, and we would have got, and people would, it would have gone. But we needed a bounce back. We did. Who scored again? I can't remember the five goals.
Davison got a couple.
Davison's
got
goals.
A couple. Oh,
Davison. Davison, look, I've been very critical of Davison. I was very critical after Salford of Davison. He looks bang on it. He looks really like he could. He's got eight goals this season. I think people forget that as well. So,
yeah, but
even people
on,
like myself,
on that, though, don't you feel, though, with and again, not to criticise him at all, but Al Hamady does a lot of that work. Al Hamady against Colchester went down the line, crossed it for Davison. He scores the second one, a good goal, Davison. And Davison did well with Ali. I don't feel Davison without Ali is going to be any great shakes, but we're going to find out.
Yeah, but I don't think Bugle without Ali is any great shakes. You put Davison and Bugle together and they struggled.
But,
previously,
but Bugle,
when
though,
Ali was out,
playing more. Bugle, though, is playing more defensive than offensive.
He's playing more as
a
number
deeper.
10 now.
That's it. Which is a really odd way round, because normally you'd have the fulcrum guy.
Yeah, but I think
the
they tried
10.
Davison as that number 10 and realised that he can't do it. They tried Pell as the number 10 and the number 9 and realised they couldn't do it. They put Davison up front with Ali and gone, well, Ali's going to do all the work. Ali creates something mad. I don't know the stats, but Arash put it out the other week. The goal. The thing I got with Ali, and I love Ali, and I think he's brilliant. He'll make us a lot of money, but you can never criticize Ali. And he's not a natural goal scorer.
No, he's missed a lot of chances.
And the amount he creates, he should have more goals. And he scores goals, and he's brilliant. And he makes, and that's the good thing. He makes a lot of goals, as you said, for Davison and stuff like that. But the amount that he created, I think it was the other day, he created what, 29, and he's only, or something. It was the biggest amount. I saw there was a picture went out the other day. I can't remember where it is now. But the amount that he creates, he should be scoring more goals. He's not a natural goal scorer. And a lot of the goals come from home games as well. He don't score many on the way. He missed three sitters at Salford.
Who?
Ali. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Salford game, he could have got loads. But I mean,
He doesn't stop trying. He keeps making them chances. And other people score now from it as well. Davison, Lemon.
I mean, and like, I'm not trying to criticise Davison, because I think he works hard. And as I've said before, he's obviously had his hair cut. Well done to him for raising some money for charity on his hair cut.
I was going
to
say,
what
because
he looks like just yet.
My main criticism is that he looked like a Wally. You know what I mean? And we said this before when we talked about haircuts and football hair. He still hasn't cut it properly off, though. I think he's still got it long.
Okay.
But But fair play to him for raising good money to charity.
Yeah.
And doing it. And
he does. There's no doubt. No one can. We've never ever slagged off his work rate and never said he's lazy or anything like that. He always puts a shift in. It is just, this will be a very, very, very good test of him and us. And Forest Green, bless the guys who got absolutely drenched there, by the way.
I was going to go, man. I was talking to my mate Nick about going up there. We looked at the train. My problem with it is I've been there before when we played him at the end of the season.
I went up there when we won 5-2 in the conference.
And it's miles from the station, like absolute miles. So it's not bad if you've got four or five of you, you can jump in a cab, and split it. But New Year's Day, just two of you jumping in a cab, it probably costs more than the train fare. Because it's about 20 or 30 minutes outside of town. It's ridiculous. They're the only village team in the 92, I think. They're a village
Are
team.
Are they really?
Yeah, they're the only football team in a village, yeah. It's mad, but... And fair play to them for what they got. Their chairman's mental. He's the one who pays Stop Oil. But I felt for the people when I was watching it, and you could see the open terrace, and everyone was soaked to bits. I really wanted to go because I had friends over from Australia. Well, I didn't have friends over, but friends I know. I used to go Wimbledon Home and Away with when I first started going Home and Away. I met them, Jules and I forget her name. How bad is that? She's going to kill me.
Hi, Jules. Hi, whoever you are.
Yeah, and my mate Tom, who's an absolute jinx as well. Tom should never go watch Wimbledon. Every time he goes, it's awful. But they're over from Australia, and they went to the game, and I was a bit gutted I didn't see them. But yeah.
Well, we had. I'll tell you what was bizarre. We were at the game, the Sutton United game, standing in the south. And if the gentleman's listening, I'm sure he's not. And a guy next to us, who's standing next to Dad. He's been a Wimbledon fan for 30 years, lives in Plymouth or Exeter away, never been to a game. Ever. Not Selhurst, not Plough Lane, King's Meadow. He had never been to a game, despite being a football fan. And follows the results, he seems to be quite a big fan. Never been, because he's always been down in Exeter and he doesn't drive, I don't think. And he's always like, well, I'll go when I get the opportunity. And every time he's had to come up to see his mother-in-law, he... has either come up and couldn't get a ticket or whatever, and it was his first game. And I was like, what is that about?
Don't trust that.
Couldn't believe it. Honestly, I literally was next to my dad, and I was like, he was like, this guy's never been to a game. And I was talking to him, he was like, yeah, no, it just never ever worked. He said, I should have come down, but I'd kind of be coming on my own, and I didn't want to get a train on my Larry, and I can't really drive. And it was just like, what?
But we played down in Exeter and places like that.
Well, no, but I mean, it's a home game. He's never been to a home game.
Right, okay.
He might have been to a Wimbledon away
game. Oh, right, okay. I thought you said he's never been
to game. I don't think he's never been. He said, this is the first home game I've ever been to. And I was like, wow. But anyway, we digress.
He's missed much over the last few years, to be fair, though.
He's missed. You say that. He's missed quite a lot in the last 10.
Relegation and not
but
winning.
But 8 points from 15.
I wanted
just
10.
About passable.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Because some of the performances were good. As I said, the point at Salford, I think we played well. And if we walked out of there 3 or 4, 5-0 up, you would have gone okay. So I think that Salford one, everyone walked away and thought, well, we played well. We created chances. Okay. Crawley, we battered it. Like, we played really well. Showed resilience. Showed the battling that you want from Wimbledon team. Sutton was embarrassing and not very good. But you kind of let it slide because you think, right, kick on against Colchester. We did that. And then Forest Green, you can kind of say that the weather played a big part in that. Do you know what I mean?
I mean, it is annoying on the fact, like you said, of the bottom four, we've played four of the bottom five over Christmas. We've got a draw at Salford, beat Colchester, lost us. We've basically picked up 5 from 12.
Yeah.
From the bottom four.
It doesn't sound good, but as I said, the Salford performance was good. Forest Green, we played well.
In patches, it wasn't. I mean, the pitch. Was,
no, but the weather on the pitch was awful. But... I hate that big centre back they got as well.
Yeah, Innes.
Innes, yeah. Him.
He's when he got sent off at ours, wasn't it?
Yeah, he kept trying to kick Ali, didn't he? He kept trying
That's
to
it.
Wind
he
Ali
literally
up
came on and got sent off.
Yeah, it gets trouble.
But, I mean, eight points. I mean, the one thing I would say is that we're still in the playoffs, albeit goal difference. It's tight though, from like 12th to us. 12th to 7th is 3 points. The reality of it is Stockport, Mansfield, Wrexham are probably going to run away now, I would guess.
Stockport and Wrexham will. Notts County, depending on who their manager is.
True,
their manager's off to Swansea.
Their manager's Swansea,
depends
on
who comes in and if he has a different philosophy to the manager beforehand. So they could
Mansfield have drawn a lot.
Mansfield
have lost one, though.
Mansfield are one of the best teams I've seen this year. When we played them at their place, we...
But you don't think they're going to go up automatically? You think
could
it's Stockport, Wrexham?
It's tough, the other positions. I think it's Stockport, Wrexham. Some of the money Wrexham are talking about spending is literally mental.
I mean, I would have definitely taken where we are now, beginning of the season, and to come into the new year in 7th, knowing that we've got a really tricky month. I think it's going to be, it will probably be the defining part of our year, I would imagine.
January's really, really tough.
In terms of on the pitch, off the pitch, everything associated with the club, we're kind of hanging on in there a bit. But I think in terms of the festive season, no real injuries. I think the team's played, when they've played well, they've played really well. And bar one terrible game against Sutton, we've been decent. We've been inconsistent at times, but that's, you know, what you're going to get with League Two. And I think bar the Sutton game, which I'm probably going to try in my head and put it down as an anomaly, I'm going to kind of park that game and just assume that it never happened. Sutton we're terrible against them anyway. I'm still quite optimistic, but very, very excited about the window. A bit nervous about the window. And I think we're going to come to that later on.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, we've done Christmas period. Should we move on? When we come back, we'll discuss Ali and Bugle after the Asia Cup. We'll discuss possible losing Lennon and Lewis, and then who else we could possibly lose or bring back or bring in. So we'll see you in a minute.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
We're back and we're going to be discussing January, the games coming up in January. Tough fixture, also losing players. So, Ali Al-Hamadi has gone off to the Asia Cup with Iraq, and Bugle was a surprise, I think, for us, call up to the Lebanon squad, and he's off. He played in the game against Saudi Arabia.
Lost today 1-0.
Lost 1-0, yeah, and he played, I don't know if he played the full game, but he played in that. It was quite funny with regards to Bugle. I got told about it the other week, fans-wise, we didn't realise that he'd been called up to the pre-squad.
Yeah, the provisional squad, yeah.
The provisional squad, and they still had to cut 10. I don't know if they changed their manager or they appointed a manager for...
Yeah, they've got a new manager.
So the new manager loves Bugle.
Oh, right.
That sounds wrong, doesn't it? The manager loves Bugle.
He loves Bugle.
Yeah. He's the one who gave him his caps previously.
Oh, right, okay.
So when that happened, someone messaged me and said, I've got a feeling Bugle's going to be getting called up just off this hunch that the new manager is the person who's called him up previously, big fan of his, and the fact that Omar Bugle's probably playing the best football of his life, I would say. I don't know.
I don't know much about his career, but I'd have thought it's not far off.
And if you see what he says and stuff like that, he's enjoying himself, playing some good football. So why would he not get called up for the Lebanon team? And obviously they've given him a number 11 and started him. So they obviously, the manager obviously rates him.
They obviously like him.
So that was a bit of a kick in the teeth straight off the bat, because we knew Ali was going. We knew Ali was going for the whole of January. My problem now with it is that we've got now two players that are out for the whole month of January during our toughest period of the season, I think, game-wise. We've also, Craig Hope was on BBC Five Live. With Aaron Paul, when was it? Wednesday night?
Okay.
Yeah, Wednesday night after the darts, he was on there. So I listened back to that. He doesn't sound overly optimistic that we're keeping Lewis and Lebanon Evans. Most Stockport fans, if you go on Twitter, well, I say most, I say everyone talking about Lewis from a Stockport point of view are saying that he's coming back, he's going. I understand that he'll be, and people are reporting it now in the news that kind of no agents and stuff like that. And I've got a feeling that Ipswich will be his last game, Lewis's last game. Especially as Saturday, Stockport suffered an injury to their centre-back. So they play one centre-back. They play three at the back. One of them's a centre-back. The other two are kind of full-backs.
Okay.
Get forward and then leave the other one to stay and kind of thing like that. But they had a bad injury. And then I think Wolves went on a mental spree of calling back every player they got out on loan.
Oh, really?
I don't know why. Yeah, so Notts County lost one, Stockport lost one, another couple of teams have lost theirs as well.
And Stockport have got a reputation, I believe, in terms of recalling players.
Well, Craig Cope's friends with someone from Stockport. He said that before. So that's why I think we've got these players in. Do you know what I mean? He's got links there. He knows people there. And for me, Lewis is going to be a major blow. If we lose Lewis now, we're going to lose Ali, Bugle and Lewis for this whole... Like,
it's a weird one because if they're not going to play him, if he's just going to be a backup, you'd be better off leaving him with us. And then we just take points off everyone else.
Depends.
You'd be much better off doing that.
Because my thing is, people were saying about Will Nightingale coming back from Ross County. I don't want that to happen. But what would you do if we've got Johnson, Pierce, Callum Bailey? You bring.
You'd need another centre back, but you'd go and get a loan in.
Yeah. I
don't think Nightingale's going to play another game for us. I don't think he's played well enough at Ross County. And to be honest with you, let's be honest, the SPL, he's not good enough to be in a League Two squad, and yet he's playing. I don't think the SPL is much higher than.
Yeah, I agree. And the difference between that and the Lewis situation with Stockport is Lewis is playing amazing for a good League Two team. And we're up and amongst them as well. And I get some Stockport fans said they wouldn't mind him staying with us because we need to take points off their rivals. So we've got Wrexham coming up.
Yeah.
We've got Mansfield coming up. But they need players. And they've got a player who's playing really well. Probably a player of the season for us at the moment. One of them.
I can't argue that.
So why not recall him and then put him in our team?
Again, I can't argue with that logic. All I'm saying is I don't know how... If you're Stockport County and you have the opportunity... If you've got money, you would probably be looking to invest a League One-style footballer over bringing Lewis back. But if Lewis is going to play, then he's their player and we benefited massively from him. He would be a massive loss. There's no... I mean, he scored two against Colchester for God's sake.
Well, look at the game he missed. During Christmas, Sutton.
Yeah.
Sutton. And we were terrible.
We lost. Like I said, he would be a big loss. But we know this. We know about this. If you borrow players, what's this saying? Never fall in love with a lone player.
I think the podcast this week is going to be called Don't Fall in Love with a Lone Player.
Same with Lemony Evans. You were at the Walsall game. My dad absolutely worships him and he doesn't often rave about a player. He has been brilliant. Just when Tilly died off a little bit of nerf feel, Lemony Evans has come in and been sensational.
I got loads of stick from my mate Titch because I said that Lemony Evans was a waste of a loan. And then he's come in and since he's come in and he plays more games.
Oh, he's been mustard.
He's been, phenomenal. And you can tell he's different gravy compared to even Nerfiel and Tilly. I'd have him above Tilly most weeks, even though Tilly went on a really good streak at the start of the season. Lemony Evans is a better player.
Well, with this new kind of formation that we're kind of playing.
With Little on one wing, and him on the other. Not a wing, but do you know what I mean? On one side.
Wide of a three.
Yeah, and then him on the other. He leaps like a salmon. Like, he is unbelievable in the air.
He's very good at bringing players into the game, and he tracks players in. He would be another loss. But again, this is the nature of the beast. If we're going to be borrowing good players...
It's annoying, because I understand...
It's full credit to both of them, though. Both of them and us, we've done well. And
There's possibly a chance, though, that we could still get Lewis back in the summer. Because I understand that we want him permanently and he wants to come to us permanently. But he might not have a choice right now and we were going to deal with it in the summer with Stockport. But he ain't going to have a choice now with Stockport's injuries.
I think he's a League One centre-back. I think
he will be League One, buddy.
If we went up, do you think we go up without Lewis?
I don't think we go up at all now. I think we really dropped like a stone and that worries me big time. We've got no Ali, no Bugle for a month.
Yeah.
The games we've got coming up are just ridiculously hard. No Lewis, no Lemony Evans. I don't know. We've got two players come back. So Williams has come back. Morgan Williams has come back from Woking. Got no
Lakin's gone, obviously.
But
that's a life, isn't it?
And I'm happy with that because Lakin weren't getting minutes. Even though I like Lakin, I thought he was a decent footballer. And I think he's probably slightly better than Williams.
Yeah, I agree.
But Williams is ours. So why not bring him back to be on the bench and come on?
Fair play to Williams. He had a loan spell at Woking. He'll learn a lot from that.
He done well at Woking as well. They gave him player of the month. He ain't started there the last three games. But
that's
they
new manager, isn't it?
They haven't done well in their last three games. So
they've got a new manager.
So he's come back. McLean's come back, but by all accounts, if you look at ask the Kidderminster fans, they were quite happy with him leaving. They said he weren't very good, and the Conference North is probably the best he's gonna play at. Which
he's playing in League Two, so he can't
worries me a bit because he looked all right before he left.
Oh, but we know this though. Whenever you get a player from low down, you know it's always going
to
be a bit of a
punt. But Dan, we've sent him on loan to the Conference to go out and play games, and he's not impressed.
Yeah, but then we
that's your chance. I think he'll go out on loan again.
And that'll be that. Just like Ross Grove, just like other players that you get, and for every one of them you get
the problem is I've seen him play a couple of times for us, and I thought he was actually all right. So I was expecting big thing. I was hoping for big thing.
In the formation that we play as well, he definitely doesn't fit.
No, he's an out-and-out winger, isn't he?
He is absolutely an out-and-out winger. And if he's not going to play in that formation, and we, there's always just...
I think it's that romance about a player like that, though, that you're getting him from low, like proper non-league, and you want him to go and do really, really well and then make us millions. And
there's just not a lot of them, though, mate, who come off. Like Wickham just signed a guy who played in the homeless football thing, didn't they? Some Ivory Coast bloke. They've just signed him. He scored loads of goals in Essex, in some Essex pub league. Wickham have gone, right, we'll have a punt at it. I mean...
They cost you nothing, so they're worth punts.
Yeah, exactly.
They're
literally... He's going to be paid a very, very low level. We've probably chucked Hereford a load of tracksuits and said, right, we'll get on with it. And do you know what? If it come off, it's an absolute masterstroke. He's obviously identified him. We don't even know if he's good or bad. He scored the goal against Coventry, which was a brilliant little finish. So even... the amount of money that he earned from that game is probably enough to cover his wages and or maybe cover the cost of buying him. And if he comes off, he comes off. He'll come back and he'll be around the squad. I've got no doubt he'll go and have another loan. And in the summer, Jackson will have a decision. But I'd be very surprised if he features a lot in the current way that we play.
Yeah, I agree.
But it is a concern. It is a concern. But like you said,
we massively digressed here because I was just about to say about what Craig Cope said on Five Live, and then we've gone into a right.
That's your fault, that is.
Always my fault, isn't it, Dan?
You look a bit like Craig Cope, actually.
No, better looking on him.
It's not what he said.
But he said, so a striker, I think, is going to be the top of our wanted list at the moment. I can see one coming in on loan. Loads of people are going on about who's Young Coombs, which...
Oh, no.
What is it with Wimbledon fans and going back all the time to players that we've had previously?
Put that to bed.
I think it's because, obviously, we don't know enough about the network around. Do you know what I mean? There could be players...
The only one I ever see that comes up all the time is the bloke from Aldershot, Tolage.
No, we've got no chance. We've got no money.
And the same with the other lad. And it's like...
Stokes. People are talking about Stokes from Aldershot, right? Yeah. Someone's talking about he's going to the Championship team. Like, do you know what I mean? We've not got money. We're skint. And someone said, I put out a post the other day saying, look, Wimbledon have got no money. We've got none for this budget at the moment. We spent a lot in the summer. So you can tell by the players we bought in. And Ali probably cost us a bit as well when we bought, like, wages, wires and stuff. But we've got no money. And someone said, I'll prove it. Where's the source for this? It's like, I just sent him a picture of Plough Lane. At the end of the day, we've got a huge debt over our shoulders. We're a selling club. We're going to have to sell Ali and Curry in the summer. That's already been said.
So yeah, it doesn't. Who said that? Him.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. To be honest with you,
we got a bit left in the budget for the summer because we sold Rodoni and who else went? Someone else went.
Palmer.
No, Asau. That's it.
Oh, Asau.
Asau and Rodoni went. So that was the players that covered that. This summer, we don't need to sell now in January. But 100% in the summer, we need to sell. Curry will have to go because he's only got a year left on his contract. So he'll have to go in the summer if we're going to get any decent fee for him. And Ali will be gone because we all know he is. There's going to be a bidding war in the summer.
But what means you don't feel like any of those are going to be sold in January?
No. No, I don't think they will.
What, because no one's going to come in with the right amount of money or we're just going to dig a real...
I don't think people will come in with the right amount of money. I think if someone turned up to mine and said, I've got 2.5 million for Ali, I think he's gone. I think anything above 2 million, we have to sell. We'd be mad not to. I think if someone came in for 300 grand for Curry, we might have to sell.
300 grand sounds really, really low.
But he's only got a year left and he's a League Two left back at the end of the day, Dan.
Yeah, and we'll get compensation on top of that, won't you?
I don't know how that works. But yeah, I don't get
So hold on, just go back a bit. We know that Bugio and Ali are missing, what, The FA Cup game.
Till at least the
Mickey Mouse Cup on the Tuesday, which is done.
They miss all the games up to the 27th of January. So they miss
Wrexham,
Mansfield,
Crawley,
yep.
MK,
yep.
Mansfield.
And they could possibly move
four league games.
Yep.
And then the two cup games, six.
So it works out the round of 16. Third place finish as well qualify. So people that finish in third qualify.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So the round of 16 is Sunday, the 28th. Wednesday the 31st of January.
Oh my God, so it could be longer.
Yep, and then you've
You'd be surprised because Lebanon have got China in their group, so they'll win that.
Yeah,
probably.
But they've got Turkestan and Qatar.
Well, Qatar got to the World Cup, but again, they hosted it.
Qatar, you'd fancy to beat Lebanon, but you'd fancy Lebanon to give China a game. And
Iraq have got Japan.
Yeah, but they're missing
loads of players. Aren't Iraq in like the... Aren't they one of the top seeds? I think they're... Aren't they eighth? I don't know.
I'm not sure, rubbish. But the round of 16 games, 28th. So the quarterfinals are Friday, 2nd of Feb. So if they get to the quarterfinals, they'll miss the Bradford game. And then if they go out, they'll be back for...
And let's face it, when they come back, they're going to need a bit of a breather anyway.
Yeah.
God, so they'll be back for Barrow. Well, the only good news is that you think that will take Ali out of the window. I can't imagine Ali signing for a club while he's abroad. I'd be staggered.
I can't see either because then you've got to get... I know it's professional football and these people like Leeds, say Leeds coming for him. Leeds could send someone over to Iraq. Or not Iraq, where is it? It's in Qatar or wherever it is. They could send someone over there, do a medical over there, but I can't see him wanting to take his focus off playing for Iraq in a major tournament.
It's too much of a gamble. Like, he's playing over in a competition on dodgy pitches, potentially... against countries that I don't know how much, mate.
Their pitch is going to be unbelievable to play on.
Well, I don't know.
They held the World Cup, mate.
Is it in Qatar?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then we should be right then.
As I said, I think, and then also Craig Cope said then the issue we will have in Jack is the maybe loan, like if our loans get recalled. So I think we're gearing up for it. I think we are.
Hopefully Bass will stay though. We're not thinking about Bass.
Bass will stay. Thing about keepers, right? And I've got this thing about keepers for next season as well. People are saying about signing Bass permanently. Got no chance, by the way. It's worth too much. We ain't got the money for him. I wouldn't sign Bass permanently anyway.
Would you not?
No, I want to go for another loan goalkeeper again next year. I want us to keep doing that, what we're doing. Right, because we've had goalkeepers in our youth and stuff who've just been—they've disappeared, they've never even played for us. So it's not like a position where we've actually gone, oh yeah, they've come into the first team, like Asau, do you know what I mean? Like Curry, Billow, and people like that. Keeper-wise, Zanev's come in, but he struggled. I think he'll leave in the summer. I like the fact that we had Ramsdale, we've had Ruse, we've had even Nathan Trott to a certain extent has gone on to have a good career.
Tom King. Terrible.
Do you know what I mean? People that come in on loan, good goalkeepers come in on loan, they do well because most top-tier clubs have three or four decent keepers now. They have their first choice. They have a second one who's probably an older statesman. Like, what's his name? Who played? James Shea?
Yeah.
His second or third choice goalkeeper at Luton. They have him round the place for his experience and for his goalkeeper training. Do you know what I mean? The stuff like that. So I would... either try and get Bass again on loan if we can, but if he went back, not now, if he goes back in the summer, try and get another loan in. I don't think we need to get a permanent goalkeeper in, but I think Bass is staying.
Okay. So there's definitely, and in terms of, I don't want to drift into the next part if we're doing January and recruitment, or do we want to put it into this bit?
Do it now, because we'll...
Okay. So I think we'll the conversation... There's quite a few conversational pieces in terms of Hell, Brown, Nightingale, Kalambayi, who are Sasu, who are basically what do you think's going to happen with them? So Pell stay now with who's going?
He has to stay because, to be fair, the bits and pieces that he has played, he's actually played all right. He's played against the teams. This is Pell's level now, though, I think, is that he's a bottom half League Two footballer.
Yeah, I agree.
So when you see him play against Sutton, when you see him play against Forest Green, when you see him play against Salford, comes on for cameos, does actually all right against them. When we play against the footballers and the good teams, he struggles. But you keep him around because he is decent to come on if you're chasing a game or if you're winning and he messes them up a bit and he gets in their head. I'd love to see Brown off the wage bill.
Yeah, agreed.
I'd love to see Brown gone.
I don't mean that horribly, but I don't see where he's going to play.
No, like, I don't.
If Curry gets injured, we're going to need some. Well, we do. We could. Johnson over, but I would get a young load in who's just quick and just go and do it. I'd rather Lee Brown is not going to. I would say thanks, Lee Brown. I think he's sadly been very, very disappointed in his time. I was really like hyped when he signed because I know he obviously played at Portsmouth.
And
I was
but he swore in an interview once, didn't he? And everyone wanted to make him manager.
I feel like he's probably someone that we need to get off the wage bill. And I think he would be someone, I presume, Nightingale.
I'd just keep him up in Ross County, if I'm being honest.
What, a full a year loan or just?
I'd keep him up there.
He must be out of contract. Mind you,
We gave him a 3 year deal a couple of years ago. Not even a couple of years ago. I think it was last year. No,
I think I'd offer him a free transfer.
You keep him up in Ross County. I don't think we can get rid of him. I don't think.
I genuinely love the bloke. He's Wimbledon through and through, but I think if we're going to be successful in League Two, the sheer volume of games that he plays and the quality that he's at, he's always worth a bad mistake.
Yeah, unfortunately, Dan, this year's shown just how far off it he is.
Yeah, unfortunately,
we've had Johnson come in, who's our player. We have Johnson's not alone. People, I think, forget that. I love Johnson. I think he's mustard. He's so calm on the ball. He's good footballer. He needs someone like Lewis next to him, though, because when Lewis was out the other day, I thought Johnson actually had a bad game. But you give him one bad game out of 10. And I think Lewis coming in, even Pierce has been better than Nightingale.
Agreed.
Do you know what I mean? So, yeah, we love him.
Where does Callum Bailly sit then? Because I think he's
tough one for me because is he fit?
In League One, he was arguably, for one of the seasons, probably one of our better players. And he had a really good 20-gamer. But again, he's another guy who just doesn't get a run in the side. But
injury prone.
I don't know with him, though. With Lewis going, is he going to be good enough to play regularly alongside Lewis and you bring a younger guy in? I mean, it's a big call. What's your thoughts on that?
It depends on his fitness and where he is since the injury. Because has the injury put him back to the fact that he can't run as well as he used to? Because he was all about pace and power.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And he wouldn't get outpaced, he wouldn't get outpowered. But if that's gone a little bit, which injuries can do to him, because it's weird how he's not playing any minutes at all, really. Jamie, he's sitting on the bench. I don't think he played in the Bristol City Motors game, did he, either, down at Portsmouth?
He played at the end of the Sutton game because he missed an overhead right at the end and he could have scored it.
But yeah, so that's a tough one for me with Callum Bailly because I like him. If he's a player that we saw in League One,
and I think if Lewis goes, it's whether or not you bring another star.
Because there was rumours, or not rumours, someone said about Dorkin or someone like that should be looking at Pierce, bringing Pierce in. But again, if Lewis goes, we have to keep Pierce. And as much as I like Pierce for a cameo here and there, he can't be starting games at League Two level.
Not regularly, no. I think the odd game, like, you know, he played.
He was good against Portsmouth.
Yeah,
against their B team.
Against Portsmouth, and there was another game he played recently. He was excellent.
But against Sutton, we went so far back with him playing at the back because he ain't got the pace to get out, and we go further back. But as I said, as a cameo here and there, or plays once every 2 weeks, every 3 weeks, it ain't the worst player to have on the bench. A lot of experience there, but he can't be starting every week in, week out.
And what about people? What about Sasu then? Is he? He's got to stick around for the meantime.
Really weird one, this one for me, Sasu, because he's obviously not rated by Jackson. Or if he is rated, he just doesn't think he's ready enough and he can't get in the team ahead of what we've got. It's a big month for him now if he does stay, because with Ali out and Bugle out, you'd think he might, if we don't bring anyone in, you think he should be getting on the pitch a bit more and starting games. If he doesn't, I think he has to go out on loan. I said this at the start of the season with God, so all of them going out on loan. And yeah, I think they all did in it. Harris Locke's on loan now. He's gone to Tunbridge.
Yeah. Tunbridge Angels, yeah.
What's his name? Morgan Williams has just come back from a good loan at Woking. And someone's Sasu.
Who's at Chelmsford? Is it Chelmsford?
Ben Mason. Yeah, he apparently he's mustered right back. And the other one would be, yeah, I think Sasu. And I said Sasu go out on loan. I got ridiculed for saying they all should go out on loan. And Sasu has not played any minutes, not even getting in our start, not even in our squad, which says to me that Jackson don't rate him, or he might rate him, but just not think he's ready. And if he's not ready, send him out on loan.
Right, coming in. So your crystal ball, these crystal balls, we are, what, the fourth? So in, what, 4 weeks' time, we're going to basically be at the end of the window. We're going to probably have a podcast pretty much at the end of the window. What's going to happen at our club, do you think? Lewis?
People are going to start moaning like, oh, you're
just
so negative.
Just say it.
You're so negative.
Okay, I'm just going to say, Lewis, for me, I'm going to disagree with you. I think he's going to stay.
He's already gone, mate.
I'm going to still disagree because I've got to disagree at some point. So Lewis is going to stay.
Right, okay.
Ali will stay.
Ali stays.
Curry will go.
Curry stays.
I think Curry, we're going to sell him.
So
I think
Ali,
we're going to get a big old offer is going to come in. And I think we're going to, maybe it might be a sell and come back for us, like Bristol City or whatever again. But I feel like he is the one, him and Villa, I think, are the two guys who I'm worried about in the window.
Villa's going nowhere ever. His injury record's too bad. He won't ever go. And also,
telling me he's never ever going to go.
No.
He
won't pass a medical anywhere else.
I'm holding you to.
He won't pass a medical anywhere else.
Medical.
And also, if he keeps throwing himself into tackles, he might. Do you know what I mean?
Billa, I think Billa on his day is better than Curry on his day.
Oh, 100%. I love Billa. I think he's one of our best players.
Right. Well, there we are then.
One of the best players we'll ever see.
I'm going to chuck it out.
He's got an injury record worse than Darren Anderton.
There's nothing wrong with Darren Anderton. He scored against Colombia.
His injury was really bad. That's why he never left Spurs.
He left Spurs, but he never went anywhere else.
Yeah,
anywhere decent. Bournemouth, he went, didn't he?
Yeah. Anyway,
so I reckon Curry.
That's when Bournemouth were rubbish, by the way.
I'm concerned.
No.
I'm worried
Ali
about
Curry.
Ali
stays, Curry stays. Lewis has gone after Ipswich.
Lemony Evans
goes after Ipswich.
No.
And you'll see on Saturday after Ipswich when Lewis is going around the whole pitch, clapping everyone, crying his eyes out.
Every game.
And he takes his short shorts off and gives them to someone at the stand because he knows he's going. It's already done, mate. It's done deal. I'll die on this hill.
All right.
People want it now not to be a done deal, and I've been fed loads of false information.
So with that in mind, is anybody else going out?
That's who might go out on loan, depending on what we bring in.
Okay, so then my other question is coming in, surely we've got to have a forward, and there's going to be a forward coming quickly, you think?
Forward comes in.
We've got to have a forward. A centre forward has got to come in to win.
We needed a forward coming in before Bugle went anyway.
Either short term or end of season.
And this
there's
is
going
why
to be
I
someone.
Think Sasu goes out on loan because we're going to get a forward on loan anyway.
And do you think that's going to be... Because it's difficult because whoever comes in is not really going to play over. You wouldn't have thought Bugle or Ali.
They might play over Davidson.
Yeah. Which is quite rough for him. But I think there's definitely a forward coming.
Yeah.
I think there's a young fullback coming.
No.
Who's versatile enough to play left back or right back with the fact that Ogonde will play right back.
If Brown goes, then I can see a young left back coming in. Because we've got Billa and Ogonde right back. So we don't need to bring anyone else in on the right side. But we will need a left back if Brown goes. Because Lewis is going, so Johnson has to play centre back. Because everyone's talking about Towler possibly coming in.
Oh, shut up!
But there's no point
players.
Bringing Towler in because he's a left centre back, and we don't need
one. Why are you bringing up old players now?
Because someone mentioned Towler earlier because he's not playing for Portsmouth. He's played one game.
You're just as bad as him, mate.
I don't want him back.
When you bring back Alan Cole, can be done with it.
I thought he was dog shit the other day when we played against him.
I always talk about Steve Antrobus all the time.
Yeah, bring
Let
Steve.
Go, mate.
Who is it?
Newhouse.
Yeah.
Steve Tallboy's rest in peace, isn't
it? Yeah.
Jesus.
Can't bring him back.
God. Hey, no matter how much we try.
Bring Sonic back.
So I reckon there's going to be a young fullback's coming in the door. I think there's going to be a forward, and I think there's going to be a centre back. And that means in your, regardless of what you think, so if that means Lemony Evans goes, Lewis goes, a centre back covers one, a full back covers the other, although you'd want a winger. But I think if we're going to play three, I think Ball comes into the mix. I think he should play in that as a three. And then a striker. What kind of striker? Because I saw Georgie boy, not on on X, can't say Twitter now, obviously, on X, was talking about the kind of striker. What do you think we're after? A little short and quick? Are we looking for a target man? Are we looking for a fox in the box?
What are we looking for? Someone like Ali.
Bloody hell.
So quick, doesn't stop running, puts teams under pressure, but hopefully can score goals.
Jesus, how much money have we got?
I'm just saying, well, we got Ali for nothing, mate.
From we Wickham. Didn't get Ali for nothing, did we? We're going to lose a load of money on him.
Yeah, but we'll make money on him as well. I'm just saying, that's why. Because we got Davison, who's kind of that kind of big striker, can win headers, stuff. We got Bugle. I just think we need a young, fast striker.
Okay. I'm buying what you're selling.
What are you saying then?
I think we're going to want a young, rapid forward.
Oh, they're cheap.
I don't think we're going to want a target man.
What about Terry Ovalade?
Plays at Carlisle.
He's doing really well.
Playing at Carlisle. Can't be that bad.
How are these players leaving us?
The one thing I would say, we always sort of mucking about or digressing 100 times a day, but I feel like this is a really interesting window for Cope.
Yeah, massive.
And I think it's a very, very... I'm nowhere near as worried about losing those players, because ultimately my expectation at the beginning of the year was it? I said 14th. So top half is good for me. But it is a weird one that if you are in the playoffs, you kind of feel like you've got to kind of take it, because it's in this league in particular, Chesterfield are going to come up and they're going to be mustered. And then you're going to have whoever's in the playoffs, and it's just whoever comes down as well. You just know it's always tricky. If you've got a sniff at the playoffs, you feel like you need to have a go at it.
See, this for me, this is where Craig Cope earns his money. This is now where we're losing. We've lost two of our best players so far this season. They've gone out for a whole month. We're losing the best centre-back and probably one of the best centre-backs in the league. And Lemony Evans, who chips in with goals, get players involved. The summer transfer window, as well as Craig Cope done, and everyone said, 9 out of 10, or do you know what I mean, on what he did in the summer, it was probably an easier window for him.
Massively. January's a nightmare.
Summer, and also in the fact that we were so shit the year before, he came in, do you know what I mean, got Ali in and put Bugle and people through the door. It was only going to work one way if they played well, which he did. Do you know what I mean? We were so bad. The windows before that were so bad as well. So it was like, get this, you've got a free hit window kind of thing.
Feel, though, that if you're say you are any club, Luton, right, for argument's sake, do you want to loan your player out to a team that is winning, which means that their game time may not quite be where it should be, or do you want a team that is struggling, which means that they're playing at a poor team, but they're going to play?
It depends on how much money I think people are going to get for players, though, isn't it?
No, I mean or loan player.
What I mean. Yeah, but they will say, well, you got to pay 50%. Stockport can come in.
Okay.
Stockport can come in and go, we can offer you 75%, and we go, oh, we can offer you 10.
So say we can offer 50%, and so can Colchester, for argument's sake, for a forward. Which team would you send your player? Would you want them to go to a team that has got
guaranteed minutes
in the bottom, so playing in a struggling team, or going to a team that is doing well, good cultures, blah, 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 but minutes is low?
You look at it, where would we send our players? So I'd send Sasu or McLean. I'd send them back out on loan, or McLean back out on loan. I'd send him to a team where he's going to get minutes and he's going to play a lot of games.
You're not bothered about the team quality. You're more interested in just getting minutes on the pitch.
Well, that's what it's about for him, though, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
as your lone player. It's about the culture don't matter, because you're going to be gone from that culture after half a season. Do you know what I mean? You want him to go in and have a good culture, but you want him to go in and say, right, go in, play as many minutes as you can, score goals. Do you know what I mean? Get as many minutes under your belt and then do well there, get player of the year or something and help them out. So they love, like, not they love you, but do you know what I mean? You get experience as a footballer, you have to experience really lows to improve. And you're not going to do that if you cover. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, if we do lose the players that we're going to lose and the games that we've got coming up, we could really drop like a stone now. And
yeah,
that
agree,
worries
yeah.
me massively. And I've seen it before.
Okay, but why are you worried about dropping like a stone? We're not going to get rid of Gay.
Because we've seen it before, Danny, that we shouldn't drop like a stone. We shouldn't just rely on Lewis staying before we drop like a stone.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what is the concern? If we're not going to go up, why does it matter where we finish? We do you know what I mean? In terms of, I'm with you. I don't want us to be shit. But what I'm saying is,
We've seen. I think because of the last few years that we've seen, and it's bad. I don't want us to go now from this point on and not win another game until the end of the season, which I don't think will happen, obviously, because
we've got
Ali, we've got Bugle, we've got people coming back. But we're a playoff team. We're a very good side at the moment.
But say we finish 12th.
We should be adding to it to push on, but we can't.
No, but what I mean is if we finish 12th, which is not us falling off a cliff at all, but we finish 12th.
I'll tell you that, yeah.
That's not the be all and end all, but it's frustrating because we are 7th now and we are close to potentially getting a decent gig.
And that's what I mean. I think the problem is I think you can see it and you think, right, push on now. Well, we can't push on if our players have been taken, but that's the loan market and that's what happens. You die by the loan. Someone said earlier on Twitter or X, you die by the you what's it called? You buy the loan. You live by the loan or you die by the loan.
Yeah.
So yeah. Right.
I still prefer never fall in love with a loan player. I still think that's the best.
It is the best because I come up with it.
Roy said that.
Right, we'll move on. And when we come back, we're going to preview Ipswich in the FA Cup on Saturday.
The Wombles Had a Dream podcast. By the fans, for the fans.
We're back for the final part of the episode where we're going to be discussing the game on Saturday against Ipswich. FA Cup game, 12:30 kickoff for international broadcasting. Which,
go on, boy.
Ridiculous in my eyes, but we make money out of it, apparently. And it's all about making money for the club at the moment. So fair play. But yeah, moving games to 12:30 for international broadcasting is not what we're about as a fans club. Yeah, so kind of, I don't know if it's stitching the fans up kind of thing. I don't think it is, but do you know what I mean? But yeah, Ipswich, tough game, Danny. They're flying. Well, they've dropped recently in that league. Obviously, I don't really pay much attention to other leagues other than the one we're in. But I know they're not as far ahead as they were.
No, but you would argue that they're still more than capable of beating us. And you think that we would have to be absolutely at the top of our game without our star player, arguably two of our best four or five players. I think it would be a very, very, very tough ask. But what it is, though, if I'm really honest with you, it's a little dress rehearsal for bigger games to come, in my opinion. This one and Tuesday, which is the Mickey Mouse Bristol Rovers Cup, whatever you want to call it. This will give us a real chance just to give the new players those chances to play in terms of the new way we're going to try to play. My question is, how are we going to play? Are we going to go back to 4-4-2, Dritton?
Well, who's the two?
Well, Davison and Pell, I'd argue.
I'd go 4-5-1 against these lot because they're going to rip your pieces. And just
so you're going to play, what, Davison up top?
Yeah, I think he's the only one you can play up top and play. What are you playing Pell in the Bugle role?
Well, what I'm saying is, are we abandoning? We've kind of played this all like 4-3-1-2 with Bugle kind of in the 10 position and Davis and Ali up top. But are we going to abandon that now for the next month? Bear in mind, it's Davison plus one, isn't it, up front, really? And that plus one is, well, if it's not Pell, I don't know who it's going to be. So are we now going to go back to fourth? I mean, the other day they had Nerfield came on up front, but I don't.
Yeah,
I feel like we're going to be better with Tilly playing 4-4-2 and the 10 being Pell with Lemony Evans on one wing and Tilly or Nerfil on the other. And we go back to like a 4-4-2 with the idea that this game, Pell can just drop in and be part of a three. But I feel like Ball would be a better version for that.
See, my problem with Ball is he hasn't played a lot of games.
No.
So then throwing him in against an Ipswich who could just run us off the park, move the ball around, we're not going to see a lot of the ball. I just think we need to flood that midfield. So I'm with you. I would chuck Ball in. I'd go the fire. I'd go Lemony Evans one wing, Tilly the other wing. I'd go Ball, Reeves and Little, and then Davison up front.
Reeves, Little.
Do you know what I mean? And just get them to work.
But it's just, I mean, on an isolated game, I guess, is it replays that you round three now? Or is it not?
I thought it was, yeah.
It'd be interesting. I think I'd still play Pell and Davison with out of possession. Pell goes back into a three with possession. He's kind of hassling with Davison, but it is a bit of an odd one because we're not going to play like that. And whenever we've had Davison up front on his own, he's been very, very, very isolated. So it's not looking brilliant. And without Bougiel, I guess the only good things are you would think they're going to probably rotate their pack. I'll be very surprised if they're even bothered about doing well in this cup competition, bearing in mind where they are in the league. And if I was an Ipswich fan, I'd be very, very tempted just to park it, just to park the whole game. I wouldn't be bothered in the slightest bit. I mean, I'm going to just find where they are in the league now.
The second.
Right. Okay. Well, I mean, I can't imagine for the life of me, to be honest with you, they're probably more worried as a club about keeping hold of their manager than anyone else.
Yeah, especially
he's being pushed. He has been pushed everywhere.
Yeah,
like I said, they're second place with what 3 points ahead of Southampton. Then it goes 7 to Leeds. I mean, I don't think they need this. So I think that's going to play
it's
in our
favour.
It's
not like, come on, Dan. I don't think they need it. I think they'll.
They are not going to play their first team.
Yeah,
no
they will.
Chance.
They will.
No.
Because at the end of the day, I don't think they're on the great. I think, as I said, I think they've dropped off a little bit. So this is a perfect time to play us. Yeah, a game that they're playing, a League Two team, they should win, go out, put a performance in, go do what you know what you've done in the league previously, build that confidence back up to push on back into the league. And then they, you know what I mean? They want to get a fourth round tie against one of the big boys to go, we belong in that Premier League. Because if we get promoted, we're going to be, huh?
I'm not buying that at all.
Well, I'm not selling it, mate.
Well, I didn't ask you to sell it. I'm just saying, I don't, if I'm Ipswich fans, what's more important? A good result on Saturday or making sure that their players are all fully fit for their next league game.
Why not?
I know what I'm picking.
Why can't you have both of that nowadays?
Well, you probably can do, but what I'm saying to you is that I'm not convinced that they're doing that.
Yeah, but
I don't think they're even remotely.
We did the same against Ramsgate though.
Who did?
We did. We played.
Yeah, but we're not competing at the very, very top end of a very, very difficult league.
Yeah, but
they've got a week off. They're not playing until Saturday. They've got Sunderland on Saturday, who is sixth. What's more important to them, though? Making sure that they beat Sunderland or making sure they beat us? I mean, they don't want to lose to us. Of course they won't. But you still think that their backup team should be good enough to beat our team?
Have both.
I would be very surprised if... Do
they have a big tech? I don't know much about them. Do they have a big enough squad to be resting players?
I don't know. But I'd be very surprised. Do they have a good squad
and that's it?
I'd be very surprised if they play their absolutely top team. I would be surprised. I'm not saying they're not going to. All I'm saying is I'd be quite surprised. Mm. I mean, they've got people like Donassian. He's injured. Lee Evans, comedian.
I was just about to say.
But they've got, I mean, people like Dane Scarlett, who's a Tottenham boy, he's surely going to play. Marcus Harness, Freddie Ladapo. I mean, all of these kind of guys you think they're playing, and they're not even starting.
Their form's dropped off a bit. They drew with Norwich. Probably should have lost that game. They lost to Leeds 4-0. They drew with Leicester. Not a bad result, to be fair. Then they drew at home to QPR. and then drew away to Stoke. They're 4-7s, not a bad price for them, to be fair. I do fancy them to win. I fancy them to win 3-1. I just think they're a good side. They're a very, very good side. We need to be on it. Lewis and Lemon's last game for us. So hopefully
stop
they
going
can...
on about that. You're just giving me the negativity.
they can put
since a child lost the World Championship final, who you would have beaten, by the way, obviously.
Who?
Having you no, no, beaten no, no. all
right, you're gonna kids. We're gonna go off right digress right now.
It's gonna be 2-0 Ipswich. That's what I'm gonna say. Now we're gonna go on to Luke Littler and how you're gonna beat him.
I'd beat an under 12. No, I said
he's
under
a
12.
Child.
He's not, he's an adult at 16.
He's going out of a 21-year-old.
Yeah, I know. Bit nonsense, isn't it? That'd have been the other way around. There would have been uproar.
Oh, my days.
And she's only just met him, apparently. Yeah, she's looking at a £500,000 check and thought, oh, hello. Anyway.
12 months in prison.
She might have been to the Epstein Island. I haven't looked through the whole files yet.
Who hasn't?
But Stephen Hawking's been there. Have you
read? Yeah. Someone has to help him. Anyway.
Proper digressing. I said I'd beat anyone under the age of 12 at any sport, right? I would beat...
At 12, he was getting 180s
when
in darts.
When he was 11, I said under 12, not 12 or over. Under
at 12. 11, he's still getting 140s. You're 11, nowhere near it, mate.
11, I'd beat him. If he was 11, I'd beat the best darts player in the world.
I will agree with you if you can tell me what your favourite double is.
Huh?
What's your favourite double?
16.
Yeah. That was just stupid.
I always leave myself on 32.
No.
The problem is I can't add up to get there. That's the problem.
No, that's your problem, mate.
But I was playing basketball earlier against my 14-year-old and my
7-year-old. You weren't playing basketball.
I was dunking all over them, mate.
Dunking donuts, you mean?
Dunking, yeah. Mate, I was dunking all over them. They kept calling travelling.
Hey.
I was hitting 3-pointers for fun.
Well, you are a cabbie, Kobe, mate. You'd be travelling all the days.
Swish. Anyway.
Well, this has been a laugh. You basically told us that we're going to be rubbish. We're going to lose to Ipswich and all our players are leaving.
And we're dropping like a stone.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yeah, the podcast is
the Samaritans back. Will be put on the list anyway, just in case.
You also got to get a league table for the prediction league because people are getting
annoyed.
Don't
you worry about me. Don't you worry about me, mate. They can send their problems to me and I'll
People are getting annoyed. There's no league table. I have to agree with them, to be fair, to a certain extent.
Well, you can agree with them. I will promise them all, everybody, by the end of the weekend, there'll be a lovely, lovely list. A nice league table, all bells blazing. Top 20 only, though, from now.
I'm in that, so that's all right.
Well, you say that.
And if there's any 11-year-old kids out there that want to play me at sport.
At anything.
Get in
like
contact.
Challenge Annika. Challenge Finch.
Get in contact. Right. It's been an absolute pleasure. We are back. The number one AFC Women podcast. Thanks to Season Master for sponsoring this season's podcast. And that is us done for another week. We'll see you next week. Debrief on Sunday, talking about Ipswich and anything else. We'll talk about Lewis leaving, Lemon leaving.
2 multiplied by 10 plus 1. Christmas done.
You duds.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.